You're listening to the Anomalous Podcast Network. Multiple voices, one phenomenon.
Made it, guys. Thank you so much for being patient. Sometimes these technical issues arise, but we got there. Thank you guys so much. It's good to be back. I'm your host, Vinny Adams, and let's get straight to it. I really want to enjoy this conversation. I know we're going to. It's going to be fascinating. So let's jump straight in, and please welcome my guest, Mr. Ronnie Vanette. Ronnie, how are you?
Hello. Thank you for inviting me. We have had some technical issues, but I think when it's live, it's something you have to happen. It happens occasionally. So I'm sorry, but I'm here available to answer all your questions. And let's go.
Thank you so much. It'd be great if, before we get into sort of talking about the hearings, if I could just learn a little bit about you as a person, your background, and when you first got interested in the UFO subject.
Yes, I'm not a UFO guy. I'm just I'm an electronic engineer, electronic and computer engineer. I entered in this subject. I entered this stuff because reasons that I even cannot explain how the synchronicity of things that happened. And I was interested in this topic, but not do my own research. Not to do an active stuff. So 2 years ago, for some reasons, I work as a Brazilian government employee. I work in a Brazilian state oil and gas company. And for some reasons, I get in contact with some guys from the National Indigenous Foundation because of my job, my work. And I had contact with them and some people from the National Indigenous Foundation said to me, oh, we had some cases in Amazon between where some indigenous people are being affected by some strange phenomena. This phenomena enter and goes out of the water, some cylindric objects. These cylindric objects, illuminated cylindric objects, shot some ray beams, some light beams in indigenous people. It's something the federal police and we from National Indigenous Foundation are investigating. Maybe you're interested. And so I started to get deeper and deeper in the subject and get some documents. And I became involved in all this. And I started to know some ufologists in Brazil to discuss these cases. And everything started to happen. Everything started to happen to put me inside this subject. So a lot of coincidence, a lot of things started, and now I'm here to talk with you.
Excellent, thank you. Now, obviously, the main focus seems to be in the United States when it comes to UFOs. But you know, from my own experience in South America, it seems that the culture is way more acceptable of UFOs. Is that something that you see in Brazil as well?
Yes, I think Brazilian government very very open to the subject. We had an event in 1986, the Brazilian official UFO night, where you have the commander of the Brazilian Air Force go to TV and say, "Oh, our fighters pursued some objects and no objects. This happened." So this is a demonstration of how open we are to this subject. Our own Air Force many years ago had give the documents to our national archives to people access it, tons of documents. So I think we are very open to this issue. However, we now have some more secrets the high resolution videos, the better photos for an operational saucer, for example, and the big stuff is hidden. We know that, but we have some transparency. We have some openness to this topic also.
And does the government in Brazil, do they currently have a UFO program that is publicly known about?
We had some UFO programs in the past. We have in the 60s, the CIOANI. It was a branch of Air Force to investigate this case. We had the Operation Saucer in Amazon to investigate some cases that was affecting a lot of cities in states of Maranhão and Pará, two big states of Amazon. But we don't have, we do have some further investigations, other investigations, but some isolated ones, not a permanent body to study the subject. And I discussed it in Senate last weekend that this is one of the biggest problems we have. We don't have an office to centralize, to coordinate everything. We have, for example, National Indigenous Foundation, have Federal Police, have Air Force doing some little investigations, but they don't talk with each other. And at the end of the day, just put all the information hidden, and that's what's happened in Brazil.
And how is the subject seen in the mainstream media? Because here in the UK and a bit in America as well, we see it kind of a bit of the stigma is still attached to the subject. What's it like in Brazil?
I think we are more open than many of countries, but we have also a lot of stigma. We have a lot of skeptics that do jokes about people that saw UFOs. When you talk about it, you see that it's a clear stigma. Our pilots, our military don't want to talk about it. I think today in US you have more openness to this topic with the military because of the Navy people, because of Ryan Graves, Alex Dietrich, and many others that came forward to discuss the subject. I think this is something is starting to happen in Brazil. We had some months ago an air traffic controller talking things about the Varginha case that James Fox will show in his next documentary, Moment of Contact. We had some weeks ago a fighter pilot describing a close encounter that he had, and I think that things are slowly but starting to change in Brazil. We have more military and traffic controllers that will come forward to talk about their experiences, but I think that is a very, very slow process.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we find that in most countries that it's a slower process. Now, let's talk about the hearings. When did they first, you know, when did we first hear about them and why now?
Yeah, many months ago, I talked with AJ Javier, which is one of the most known ufologists in Brazil. I have a good contact with him. I knew him about because of the case in Amazon. Yeah? So I approached Javaya and said, Javaya, we have to do something in the model of US to get deeper in the subject. We need to do some legislations. We need to approach some politics, some senators, some representatives to talk with them and they start to work a job to do some law, some legislation about this topic. And Javaya said, "Oh, Ronnie, I have a contact right now with Senator Eduardo Girão, who is a senator that's very, very interested in this topic, and he wants to do an open hearing about this to start the conversations." And Girão and Javaya was talking even before the COVID pandemic. So, but the COVID pandemic comes, they had to postpone the plans. The US, the subject in US evolved very fast. We had the open hearing, we have the Gillibrand-Gallego amendment, we have the UAP Task Force report, And we had a lot of things that, in fact, helped us to justify to have this presentation, this open hearing in Brazil. And this is the background. It was a plan that was already started, but because of the environment, the happenings in Brazil and the world, we just did it in the last June 24, which was a good day because it was the day of sight of Kenneth Arnold, the UFO day. So it was very symbolic for us.
Yeah. And are these the first UFO hearings that have ever happened in Brazil?
Yes, the first UFO hearings that ever happened in Brazil. I think in a Senate is the first one in the world, I think. I think in the U.S. you had decades ago, because of Blue Book and so on, some hearing in the House of Representatives. Yeah. But I think in a Senate, which is a more prominent house, I think the first time it was.
Oh, we've lost you for a second.
Very, very huge, because I think that the senators have the power to move the subject forward, and I think we'll discuss it today more and more deeper.
Yeah, and I'm hoping, you know, we're hearing a lot of rumors about the U.S. holding more hearings as well, and I really hope that we get the Senate side of things next. But listen, you obviously gave a presentation at these hearings. For anybody that hasn't seen the hearings, are you able to give us a breakdown of what your presentation was about?
Yeah, my presentation was about cases in the Amazon forest, cases in the investigation. All my presentation was based in official documents. So I started my speech in 70s, where they had in 77, 78 in Brazil, the Operation Saucer. It's something we know about Colares, because is where the thing started to overwhelm in a serious way, affect a lot of people. But we have cases in two big states, in many cities, almost in all the cities that's located near of the shore, near of the ocean. We had all the cities affected in states of Maranhão first, and after the state of Pará. So my first part of speech was about these cases, about what the evidence the Operation Saucer encountered. At the final of the first part, I talked with the direct to the Air Force. Please, Air Force, publish all the documents that you're hiding, that you're not published yet. We know, I know you have a lot of photos. I know a lot of videos. We have almost 60 hours of videos.
Wow.
In formats Super 8 and Super 16 that was made by the crew, the military crew of UNG Holanda, who was the commander. And I urge the Air Force to be open and publish these documents. Also, in respect to UNG Holanda, who was a very, very, very good military. He was so good that he had some videos that was from his particular inventory. Part of the videos was not from the Air Force. Part of the videos was from UNG Holanda. UNG Holanda was a so good military that he gave everything to the Air Force, and he never saw his own videos. And when he died, when he committed suicide, I think one of the most on the things that he was so sad, it was about the death videos that the Air Force stole and he could never see the light. So the first part of my speech was about it. It's interesting because all the commanders of Navy, Army, and Air Force were invited by the senators, but no one accepted to be present. But interesting is that Air Force sent two superior officials to the event, two colonels. There was two colonels of Air Force there. When I was talking, they were taking notes every time what was saying. I could see it in front of me, And I think they will talk with the commanders about what they saw, what they think it's important, and I think this discussion will be moved further. The second part of my speech was about the cases in Amazon forest, but nowadays cases between 2013 and 2016 in another state in the west of Brazil, near the border with the country Peru. Okay. Between indigenous people. All the cases in 70s that Operation Saucer investigated was between unidentified phenomena and fishermen village. And these cases in Amazon were more interesting because was interactions with our isolated indigenous people. And these people were affected with light beams and so on. So this started a very, very huge investigation between National Indigenous Foundation, Brazilian Army get interested, the intelligence community of Brazil get interested. We have a big investigation of federal police, the prosecutors, a lot of officers in Brazil, governmental officers were interested in this case. And some information never saw the light of the day when it started to become more aggressive. We have some indigenous that was hospitalized because of the light beams. And when this event, more aggressive event started, the government started to not talk about it. And I'm trying till today to get some documents of the case after 2016 because it was the most impressive one. And we have no much documentation about it. And my last part of speech was about a scientific investigation, something I'm doing by myself in Brazil, and asking for the government, for the senators, to do something more professional with using the academy, using our federal universities, to investigate this stuff in more scientific way and coordinated way. Because as I said in the beginning, we have a lot of officers in Brazil, governmental officers in Brazil investigating this topic, but in isolated form, not in a collaboration, not in sharing results and so on. So this was the last part of my speech there.
Wonderful. Thank you. And you mentioned there about you're trying to get hold of some documents. Is that using the Freedom of Information Act that you have in Brazil? And if so, is that a good resource? Do you normally get files from them, or is it a bit difficult?
Yes, all the documents I obtained from the cases of 2013, 2006 between indigenous tribes and UAPs were obtained through Brazilian Freedom of Information Act. The federal police never shares any documentation. Therefore, also never shares anything. Everything I obtained was from our National Prosecutor's Office and our National Indigenous Foundation. It was because then, which normally we don't do a request for these offices, because we never imagined that the National Indigenous Foundation or the Prosecutor's Office will have something about UFOs. But as I said in the beginning, I had a lot of coincidences in my life that led me to know people, and these people wanting to help say to me, oh, do this type of request for the Freedom of Information Act and you will obtain good things. And this is how I achieved this document.
Excellent. And now there were obviously other speakers at the hearings from other countries as well. And now one thing that I found confusing is that Lou Elizondo apparently was meant to have done a prepared speech, like a video, but for some reason there's nothing online. Did he give a speech, like a video presentation at all?
Yes, the AJ Javier was responsible to organize with the senator's team the event. Sure, I was helping. And for example, in many moments, Javier said to me, Ronnie, I lost contact with Elizondo. I cannot reach him. And I helped with many, and I I like to thank to many members of UFO Twitter that helped me to get in touch with Elizondo and many others to do this event happening. This is what I think this community is fantastic because of that. When you have something we need, everyone tries to help. Even if you don't know how to help, you ask other people to help, and this is how a community is supposed to work. So I like to thank you, many members of UFO Twitter, about it. And in many moments, many people helped to strengthen the relation between Jevaé and Elizondo. What I know is that Elizondo could not be present there because many people criticized this event in Senate. They said, we have a lot of problems with healthy, security, education, poverty in Brazil, and you are talking about UFOs. Sure, it's people that's not aware about this topic. They don't know what's happening in the world about this topic, and I have to give credit because they simply don't have the information, and their critique is just fair because they are not informed. And so because of that, the senator said, we can't expend any penny to do this event happen. And all the people, me, Gary, and Bob Salas, all the people present there, all the costs was not covered by the Brazilian government. They're covered by ourselves, they're covered by some representative or senator that wants us to help and put the penny from his pocket to this happen. So it's important to say that. And this is the reason that we couldn't bring Elizondo to be there, because Brazilian government for this specific event was not covering any costs. And what I know from Jevaé is that Elizondo promised to send a video with a testimony from him, logically not a classified testimony, but an unclassified briefing for Brazilian senators. And they lost connections a lot of times. I don't know the reason, but they lost connections between Elizondo and Jevaé a lot of times. I established again these connections. And the last thing I know is that Elizondo would not send a video, but sent for Jevaé a text, a little text to be read in the Brazilian Senate. I don't know. I didn't have the opportunity to talk with Jevaé again after the hearing. I didn't know if Jevaé was not happy with Elizondo that promised at the beginning to send a video and at the end send just a little text. I don't know what happened. But the result everyone knows. The text of Elizondo was not read in Brazilian Senate. We didn't have the videos, and that's what happened. So I think the best person to clarify what's happening is the Jevaé to say what's happening. The information I know, I'm talking with you right now. Okay.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for clearing that up. I think a lot of people were unsure about what happened there. I've got Jonathan Davis here in the live chat saying, what did Lou Elizondo say in his letter? I guess there's the answer. He got a text message across to the Brazilian senators. Obviously we had other foreign people. You mentioned Bob Salas, Gary Heseltine from the UK. Were there any major takeaways from what they discussed?
Yes, the question is very good because I'm curious to know about this text that Elizondo sent Jevaé. I asked Jevaé about that. As I said, I didn't have the opportunity to talk with Jevaé. Jevaé was very busy doing some UFO events in Brazil these days, and I couldn't reach him to talk about it. But as soon as I have an opportunity, I'll talk with him to know, and maybe I can share something about this text of Elizondo with you. We had also two international representatives from US, Robert Salas. Bob Salas was talking about the nuclear cases between UAPs and the base he commanded in Maelstrom. So he made a very good presentation about that. Our senators became very impressed with the information that Bob Salas presented. And Gary Heseltine presented the global disclosure, what the event that was happening since 40s until now, evidencing that some kind of disclosure is coming. And Gary, the speech of Gary Heseltine was very important because he was very emotional. He was very effusive about his thoughts about this, the angry about that protection that was made about the subject of Pentagon, of government of the world. So his act, his speech was very, very, very emotional and very, very, very good for us to see. So this is what the Gary and what the Gary and Bobby presented during the event.
Great. That's great. Thank you. I've got a question here that says, could you please explain to us why Geraldo Lemos Neto was talking about spirit prisons on the moon and aliens from the planet Chiron?
Yes, as I said, I didn't organize the event. I personally don't agree with this mix of science, facts, and religion. But we have also to understand the context in Brazil. In Brazil, we have millions of people that believe in the religion of spirits. Okay, and in Brazil, we have a person called Chico Xavier. Chico Xavier was a leader of this religion that was nominated to the Nobel Prize of Peace. And everything he died poor because everything he gained with his books, his donated everything. And at the end of the life, he had nothing because he donated everything for institutions of charity. So he was a man that is very, very, very admired in Brazil, even from the non-religious people. And we have a lot of, as I said, we have millions of people in Brazil that follow the spiritism, and a lot of senators and representatives in Brazil follow the spiritism. And spiritism has a lot of stories from the biggest mediums about extraterrestrial life, about interdimensional life. So this is the reason the senators choose to get Geraldo Lemos, who is a person that is almost a son of Chico Xavier, because he lived with Chico Xavier during his life. So senators choose to have this conversation, choose to bring, because they know that in Brazil we have a lot of appeal from population about this subject. And many people laughed when Geraldo said about the life in Saturn, for example, because they say, oh, life in Saturn is not possible. We know that scientifically. You have no conditions to have life in Saturn. But I don't agree totally with the religion, but what the spiritism talks about life in Saturn and Mars, for example, is interdimensional life. It's not necessarily life in our physical form, in our three-dimensional world. They call, we have seven dimensions, and these beings in Saturn and other planets could live in any of these dimensions that which were not our dimension that we know, our dimension that we live. It's not an answer, but just something that to think more out of the box, and just to eventually start to study and maybe in scientific study some years in future, maybe we can prove that we have in fact some interdimensional worlds or interdimensional beings, as some people are saying, or maybe people coming from future, which is another location in space time also. So maybe something that in religions we could, science could prove some years ago. But I agree that is a little strange to talk religions and Brazilian government documents, everything together. Maybe some people get confused about that, and I understand.
No, I really appreciate you answering that question. Thank you so much. Joss has a really good question here. Is there a connection between Brazilian nuclear facilities and UAP?
We don't have Brazil, Brazilian Navy and Army and Air Force don't have nuclear weapons. We don't have nuclear weapons, but we have nuclear energy facilities. And I made some requests for the Freedom of Information Act some months ago, and our Regulatory Commission of Energy says that they don't have in their records any cases between UFOs, UAPs, and nuclear facilities. I don't know if they're hiding something, but this is the official answer for this question.
Yeah, thank you so much. Now, since the hearings have finished, what has the reaction been like? Have the mainstream media covered it? Is there some positives as well as negatives?
It was very, very strange feedback because before the event, we had all the major media saying, oh, we'll have a UFO session at June 24. The Senate will discuss for the first time. And after the hearing, no big media talked about it. They didn't simply didn't talk about it. They didn't talk it. We was expecting some of the parts of the media say, "Oh, this is a joke. Didn't need to be discussed in the Senate. We have a lot of other problems." But they simply forget about it. It was very, very strange. I don't know if they forget, in fact, and someday they will remember. Oh my God, the event just happened and we didn't notice. Or maybe they noticed this week and the event was 2 weeks ago and they don't want to notice this anymore. So I don't know, but they simply didn't talk about it. This was very, very strange.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you so much. Jonathan Davis with another great question. What comes next? Will there be another hearing soon with the military involved?
After the hearing, the duration was 5 hours. They initiated 10 a.m. and finished 3 p.m. And after the session, we went to a restaurant to have lunch with Senator Giron and his team. I cannot discuss everything I discussed with him, but I give him a lot of recommendations, basically to follow the model that's being followed in USA, okay? And what I think is that the senators will start to poke the next of the armed forces, mainly the Air Force and Navy, and also our Minister of Defense, to start the conversations and say, oh, let's do a classified briefing, what you know that you cannot reveal, and what you can open to the public at this time, what's the national security issue, and so on. The conversation will start. And the Senator Giron and his team are very, very motivated to do a legislation, to start conversations about the legislation in the model of Gillibrand, Rubio, and Galileo Amendment U.S. to have a permanent body, a permanent office of investigations, uniting the armed forces, the academy, the universities, and the ufologists, and so on, the civil organizations in Brazil. And I think this will lead to at least some additional hearings, maybe some hearings with the members of armed forces and so on. And I know that we have also a lot of representatives from the House of Representatives interested in the subject, interested to do a second hearing in House of Representatives. And I think this will happen soon.
Wonderful. Thank you. So what's actually next for yourself then in this subject? Do you have anything planned? Any other cases that you're working on?
Since four years ago, I started to visit. First, I read a book. I read a very interesting book from a Brazilian, one of the main Brazilian ufologists in Brazil. It's called Marco Petit. which the, for me is the number two or number three after Jevaé ufologist in Brazil, serious ufologist. And this book of him talked about the Beauty Hill in my state, in Rio de Janeiro, in Brazil, which allegedly was a hot spot in Brazil. And I started to scratch my head and said, it's serious. This kind of phenomena happens there. And instead of criticize, I put my boots, I put my pants, and I went there. And it started in 2008. To be there a lot of times to start the observations. I observed incredible things there, many phenomena that are very, very like Hess-Darling phenomenon, light phenomena. In some cases, and this is important, I clarify to people, the events happens very often, but nothing like, I'll go there the first time and I will see something. No, you have to be consistent. You have to go a lot of times. Maybe you see something the first time. Maybe you see something in the 10th time. So it happens often, but it's not something magical that you go there the first time and see beings and see lights. One time I saw lights near me, and I say near me was about 1 meter, 2 meters. Very strange lights, no sounds, no luminous effects in my eyes, and this is the first event in 4 years. The second event, it was one that I testimonied in Senate when I saw the big, huge orange light, and when this orange light diminished and turned off, I saw with my eyes beings, three big, big black beings, 3 to 5 meters tall. And I testimonied that in senators, expecting our academics and our government to be interested to investigate the place, because I want I recommended that to the Senate, go to that place and see by your own eyes and investigate, bring the equipment, and you see stuff. Because I think that it's like a mini scheme of ranch we have in Brazil. We have a lot of hotspots in Brazil. This is just one. And I think if you start academic study, a scientific study, install some equipment, we'll have some results there. And my project right now, we have a lot of cameras. I installed thermal cameras, high optical zoom cameras and sensors there, installed right now. I inaugurated there in the same day we had the event in Brazilian Senate. And we are right now collecting data. And maybe we could have some results. And I said in Senate, maybe soon we'll have the first high resolution video collected by a civil institute, me or Galileo or other projects that other people are starting to, because I think it's something that's unstoppable. Me and other people will start to do this kind of research. And in some moment, I think some moment people start catching some very, very compelling, very, very impressive. I think it's a matter of time. And I think this is something that scares the government, because the people are starting to wake and starting to do his own research to not depend off the government data. And I think this is a movement that will get bigger, bigger, bigger in the next few years.
That's wonderful, and I really wish you all the luck with that project, definitely. I've got a question here from Shardle. Are there any cases from Brazil where there is evidence of hostile intent from the Brazilian military or the UAP themselves?
Yeah, we have cases in Brazil that the pilots tried to shot the UAP, but didn't have success because the UAP just disappeared. We had some cases where we had the UAP fighting light beams in people. For example, in the Amazon, in Colares, we had a lot of people that died. We have a lot of people that became some mental regression. I knew these people because I went there. People that was affecting 70s and today has a brain damage that these people act today like child of 12 years. And this kind of phenomena happened. We don't know if it's the intention. we don't know they wanted to do that, or it's like something our body, specific people's body reaction to that light beam. We don't know.
Wonderful.
But it's happening. It's happening.
Yeah. Mr. Driscoll asks, is there any truth to the Mage incident that went viral a few years back? Was it a viral hoax, or maybe that smoke actually came from a fire?
Yes, this was a question that I responded at the final part of the UAP Senate hearing. Many people in internet was interested about this that grew and became international case very, very fast. This is the power of the internet. But I think the internet has have something good and bad thing. The bad thing is that a lot of people trying to fake some images, take some videos, talk some lies about it. And I can talk about this case with property because I was one of the four people in Brazil, four investigators in Brazil that came to the site. I spent 1 week there in Magé. I talked to hundreds of people about it. What I can say about it, we cannot prove that something related to UFO UAP happening. But we had a huge military operation conducted by the Brazilian Army. And I have documentation that I achieved from the Brazilian Army itself saying that they had a huge operation there, not in Magé, but in a area of environmental protection ecosystem near Magé. It's a huge area of forest near Magé. And something happened there that the military, the Brazilian Army, needed to do operation there. They say it was a training operation, but they refused to give me any document about this training because of national security issues. Okay, but this is what's only a training because you cannot offer any documents. This is a problem. And they confirmed all the helicopters that was flying and the people from Magé saw during this event. And all the dates, all the times are totally compatible with that operation of Brazilian Army in Magé. So a huge operation took place there, but unfortunately, I cannot affirm, I cannot say to you what really happened, why that military people was involved there. Maybe we can find something soon.
Hopefully. Final question here is from Jonathan Davis. Have you been involved with the new James Fox investigation and the new movie?
No, but I have a very, very good friend, a very competent researcher in Brazil, called Marco Aurelio Leal. The world will know him a lot because he has a very, very big participation in James Fox's next documentary, Moment of Contact. He was the main advisor and producer of James Fox for this documentary. Marco Aurelio Leal presented to James Fox all the witnesses that he interviewed in the documentary. And I think Marco will have a big hole in UFO Twitter and this topic after the release of the documentary.
Yeah, thank you. I've been lucky enough to see an advanced copy of the documentary, and the amount of testimony and witnesses in it is unbelievable. Well, listen, Ronnie, thank you so much for joining me today. I really do appreciate it. We got through the technical hitches at the start, and that's been a fascinating conversation. Hopefully in the future, there'll be more hearings in Brazil, and I'd love to have you back to discuss them when they happen.
Thank you very much. Thank Vinny. Thank you for disclosing the team. Thank you for everyone that watched from the houses. I hope I could respond to all the questions that you had. I think it was a good conversation, and I hope to talk with you soon, because I think in Brazil have the a lot of big news coming in the next month.
That's wonderful. To everyone watching, thank you for everyone in the chat. Some fantastic questions, and it's always good to see so many cool people having a great chat and a great time. I'm going to be back this Friday with Britt Barbieri. She is a UFO researcher, a cryptozoologist, and also a researcher of the paranormal. So something a little bit different on Friday. But for now, everyone, enjoy the rest of your day wherever you are. And thank you again. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.